So this next session is called Primer on Subchapter 5, and it's going to be presented by my chief judge, Eddie Rodriguez. I have to tell you that working with Eddie as the chief has just been a remarkable experience, as he has led our district through a pretty big crisis. And so I've really grown to respect him a lot, even maybe more than I did before. And I'm very proud to introduce him. He unfortunately misnamed this topic. Judge Rodriguez has written 18 opinions on Subchapter 5 on Westlaw, 18 of them. This is not going to be a primer on Subchapter 5. This will be a PhD on Subchapter 5.
Thank you, Mark. All right, so what we're going to try to do today is, and this is chapter 13, and I understand that, and that's, I want to do, instead of talking about a primer on sub 5, I want to do a side-by-side comparison. So let's think about it for a minute. You have a client walks into your office, right? Right at the chapter 13 debt limits, just like right at it, but has a couple of thousand, maybe even $100,000 in contingent or unliquidated debt, right, that could qualify him for a Chapter 11 case. And you have a very aggressive creditor chasing this debtor into bankruptcy. So what kind of case are you going to file? You're going to put this debtor in a 13, or are you going to put this debtor in a sub 5 or something else? And let's say this debtor owns a business, right, Ed's Automotive, right? And so how are you going to talk this debtor through his or her options? Are you going to strictly talk about 13, or are you going to present him with some other options? And how are you going to get your plan confirmed? Right? So that's what I want to do today. And unfortunately, last night I was able to finish up this kind of talking points I'm going to go over with you today. It's not in your materials, but I will definitely get it to the UT tonight, so you'll have it by tomorrow morning. Okay? So let me walk you through it. Let's talk about my disclaimer, of course, right? Anything I say today, unless I've written on it, is not my opinion, and it's not advisory, so don't take it one way or the other. Okay, so what are you going to expect today, right? I'm going to go over some of the available resources that I have for you. You have some of that in your materials. We're going to talk a little bit about Subchapter 5. If we have enough time, we'll get a little bit more into depth into it. I have this presentation I'm going to give to you on PDF format. I'll have it for you tonight. And if we have time, like I said, we'll go over the confirmation process. Okay? I also have a paper for you in the materials that I've recently updated on Subchapter 5. It walks you through eligibility all the way through discharge and everything in between. Let's walk through it. Okay. First of all, the first thing I really need to tell you is Subchapter 5, and you need to think about it this way, is not Chapter 13's sibling. Okay, they're not related. They may have similarities, but they're not related. So if you've never filed an 11, it's ill-advised to file a sub 5 unless you have somebody helping you out with it. What is sub 5? What are some of the benefits on debtor side and creditor side? You don't have an absolute priority rule in sub 5. There's no mandatory committee appointed. There's no mandatory disclosure statement, although it is a disclosure statement light. You have to have history, financial analysis, liquidation analysis in the plan itself. There is an appointment of Subchapter 5 trustee, kind of like a helpmate, very different than an appointed trustee in a Chapter 11 case or a standing trustee in 7 or 13. And with very limited powers, with the ability of the court to expand those powers if necessary.